Hello, welcome to the last recorded episode of 2017 for Waldman's Words. But this episode will be airing, as you know, because you're listening to it right now, in 2018. Or if it's 2047 and you're listening to this on iTunes, then you are freaking cool.
If iTunes is still alive in 2047.
God damn it, you are such a downer at
Who
all
knows?
times.
I'm just saying, 2017 was a hard year,
It's true.
but I have high hopes for 2018.
I feel like if I won the lottery, you'll be like, but what about the taxes?
But what about the taxes? You're going to give all that money to the man?
Damn the man, save the empire. So we've got Mr. Kyle Hewlett coming into the studio. He actually does a lot of work for Adobe in addition to 750,000 other things. So normally Emily researches and takes notes, but she's like, dude, like this guy's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I asked him directly this time, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just go chronologically because I can't type this fast.
I don't know if anyone can. Someone is blowing up. Someone just got a text message, which is pretty dope. And it's probably Emily,
It is Emily.
probably from her friend that is always on her socials, I'm assuming. Am I right?
No, it's an email from my school.
Oh, what up, Drex? Not Temple. I fucked that up once. I'm not going to do it again. So the next few weeks on Waldman's Words, well, actually, I'm going to be taking a few weeks off, but that's irrelevant to you. So the next few weeks, we've got Jesse Grushak from Ujo Music, who just responded to our email. So that's pretty sick. He's in the cryptocurrency space, the blockchain space. He knows so much stuff, and I know nothing about it. And I'm assuming most people on Facebook know nothing either. They just post about it. So hopefully we can learn a little something from that. Emily is nodding more fervently than I've ever seen anyone nod. We've got Christian Schlosser, who also does A&R at Legend Recordings the following week. We've got Maggie Cunin, who works at Hopeless Records, who the past few years have really, really like gotten a lot of the legendary bands in the scene with Newfound Glory, Sum 41, Bayside, Taking Back Sunday, The Used. It's pretty unbelievable. And then the following week, we've got Tom Mullen, who works, I believe, at Atlantic. Yeah, I know, I mean, actually, I know he works at Atlantic, but he also is a published author and he wrote an emo anthology that if I get an Amazon gift card, which I'm assuming I will for the Xmas, I might do that. Oh, she just snapped her fingers.
We'll see. Hanukkah's over, so it can't be for Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is over, but Hanukkah will never die.
Yeah.
My place smells like a latke.
Hanukkah five ever.
Hanukkah five ever, punk is dad.
Yeah. Just great stuff coming from this side of the room. I don't know what's happening
This
over
side of the room
there.
as well. I'm just letting you know that this episode is going to be really something. So stick around for Waldman's Words every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, where Miss Emily Burke lives. And I'm sad because she made a brief like cameo and dropped the mic for two episodes at the end of this year and just said, fuck it, I'm off to Philly to freeze and eat a cheesesteak.
That's exactly what I do in Philadelphia. Nothing else.
You sit around, you
Yeah.
freeze while eating a cheesesteak. And also, as you know, Sunday mornings, 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time, the show reruns.
True.
Thanks,
I can't,
man.
yeah,
The
no
side of the
judgment here.
room. You got
Yeah.
you guys are killing it. So stick around for this episode of Waldman's Words featuring Mr. Kyle Hewlett, who does just one thing. Rock.
Yep.
Hello, we are back on Waldman's Words with Emily Burke's last show for a bit. God damn you, Emily. And Kyle Hewlett.
Hey man, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Chilling, just getting the selfie in there real quick. Throw it up on the socials, you know how it goes.
He is the selfie king. I mean, granted, we have a big age gap, but so I just want to get into it. During the intro, we kind of just said that you're a jack of all trades and you do a lot, but what got you into music?
I mean, I guess I was always into music. I started out really young into music. I mean, basic things, getting into playing violin and in elementary school. You know, like my mom took me out to see a mariachi band every Monday, and like I have photos on stage with the mariachi band when I was like 2 years old.
That's pretty sweet.
Those guys could play.
Yeah, honestly, genuinely.
Yeah. Yes, they do. I mean, you're part Mexican, so you got to represent.
I'm not Mexican. my Salvi mom would not be happy to hear that.
Woof. Take two. No, but those mariachi guys, I mean, have you ever been to El Compadre in Hollywood?
I have not.
Those dudes shred. Really, really good musicianship, and obviously all those like Desperado movies make me really excited, boy. So I guess if that was your gateway drug, but what did you start doing? Like, besides violin, did you join like a Yellow Card cover band? Like, what were you doing?
Well, I mean, I got really into, I went to my first club show and I got really close to some bands there. And that kind of inspired me into the life behind it. I got really into a movie called Almost Famous and was kind of obsessed with the, you know, behind the scenes life and, you know, becoming a rock journalist or becoming a musician and helping out the industry in any way that I could.
Where were these shows that you were going to?
I was going to shows at The Chance in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Upstate.
Yep, upstate New York, very popular stomping ground for a lot of Glamour Kills bands, Glamour Kills themselves. We Are the In Crowd, my band That's Outrageous, Matchbook Romance, The Morning
State
of.
Champs.
State Champs are from Albany. Like, they used to play that venue all the time. So,
no, it's a venue that is often on a lot of tour routes. And my band, The City Drive, played, I believe, at the Icon in Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah. I don't think I've made it to one show in Buffalo that I've been scheduled to play.
Well, I can just tell you that show was practically in a crack alley, so it's a good thing
that's
that you
exactly
didn't go to
why.
That, which is something that Emily's mother is a huge fan of, is a crack alley.
Oh, yeah, especially in upstate New York. Buffalo is a little far, though. I think that's like its own world. It's almost Canada.
It's just cold.
Yeah.
Right now, this episode is going to be airing in January, but I'm legitimately cold in L.A. today. In the valley.
Yeah. It's been a little cold the last few days.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's me or everybody going home and, like, they just took all the California out of it or what.
Well, that makes sense because I guess when you're in a room with a lot of people, it gets heated. But since everyone's leaving, that's what it is. Global warming's a myth. What the hell? There was some alarm. This has never happened. This show is going to be the most frenetic episode, I can tell right now. Anyway, so you were going to a lot of shows. What were some of the better shows that you went to growing up?
Oh, man. There were some wild ones. I mean, GK Holiday was always a riot. We had GK Holiday, Eat Your Heart Out, tons of other festivals.
Who were on those shows, like All Time Low?
Yeah, there was a bunch of All Time Low ones. I used to promote at a venue called the Polish Club when All Time Low was supposed to play there upstairs to, I think, like 300 people, and the venue ended up jumping to like a 700 cap room in the middle of like that tour. And it was just like they were blowing up, and Poughkeepsie kind of brought a lot of those bands back there. But I mean, we saw kind of the string of everybody. I mean, Dave Shapiro really took out the
Dave Shapiro's a booking agent, and he used to play in a band called Count the Stars.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
I like to edumacate. I mean, because if someone listening right now doesn't know, and now he books Limp Bizkit, A Day to Remember, Sum 41.
Exactly.
He's the big rock guy.
So he was sending a lot of really amazing bands that way, and that market was really booming. I mean, I remember seeing Metro Station and seeing the floor, you know, look like it was caving in.
Caving in from shaking it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were like rock gods at the time. It was wild.
Well, one of them's Osiris.
Yeah, that's true. Be true.
I have no opinions on Metro Station.
I try not to talk shit on bands.
Yeah, I like Metro Station in middle school. That was the thing. 303.
303, I'm predicting they're going to play like a few dates of Warp this year. That's a prediction.
I mean,
we could talk about your role in that, but anyway.
It's out there now. It's out there now. They'll hear this, and now they have to.
Yeah, that's just, if anyone listens to Waldman's words and listens to what I'm saying, everything comes true in this show. Like, you're going to ship me some Chicago deep dish pizza every day in 2018.
Chicago deep dish. You talked about Chicago deep dish being better than New York pizza the other day.
I did.
And I grimaced. Oh, my goodness.
It was actually more of a grimace wasn't the word. I'd say scoff.
Scoff, yeah.
It was. I like it better. And I'm from New York, and I'm 83 years older than you, so I've had more experience eating it. I don't know. Maybe it's just the novelty of it. I liked it, but I stand by it. But the pizza out here isn't as bad as they say it is, but it's not as consistent.
Depends on where you go. I mean, Big Mamas and Papas is pretty traditional as it gets. Amici's, I didn't even realize they had outside of New York until I came outside of
Abbott's
New York and found one.
Is one of the better by the slice places. I'm going on New Year's Eve, but by this time this airs, it'll be 2018. It's this place called Pizzana. Mozza is good. What do you like? You grew up in Woodland Hills where pizza flows like wine.
We did nothing special. Amici's was always a big thing.
I thought you were going to be like Domino's.
No, Amici's was huge because a lot of people like own the branches. So I had a lot of friends whose dad like owned an Amici's pizza. So we'd always get from there.
Yes. And you knew people whose parents worked in porn growing up.
Yeah. So, you know, we'd always get free porn.
Well, right now, pizza. Porn is pretty readily available.
The Valley, you know how it is.
Yeah. I haven't really thought about how this whole net neutrality is going to help the porn industry. Anyway, so violin, when did you start playing another stringed instrument?
It's actually funny because...
And how well is this going? It's been 6.5 minutes of fun.
I mean, it's great. I like talking, and I like talking about my musical history, and then I like incorporating that into how other people can get involved. So, I mean, I started out volunteering for a local radio station, and I was working for...
What station?
WRRV out of Poughkeepsie, New York as well. It was actually right down the street from my house. I could walk there every single day. And there was a local show at night. I can't remember what it was. Local Lockdown. That's what it was. And I would bring every single local band I could to that show and get them in for an interview and for a song premiere. And I worked really close with that DJ, and I was just obsessed with it. And I
Were you a teenager at the time? Or
I was 14 going on 15 at the time.
Wow.
I started putting on everyone that I could, and then I started reaching out for Pure Volume takeovers and Pure Volume premieres.
Remember Pure Volume?
Yeah.
Do you? I'm looking at you.
No, I don't.
Oh, it was a site that launched a lot of bands. Well, how old are you?
23.
You're 23. You're 20. I'm 36. Pure Volume was basically a really good page for... It was kind of like an older SoundCloud. Like a lot of bands would post their music on there. And if you were featured on Pure Volume, you'd get tens of thousands of streams. Because it was actually pretty novel with streaming. That and MySpace profiles. Like those were some of the first pages where you'd hit play on it. Anyway.
Well, they had a really good charting system, and it was a really public charting system, and you can get into that top five in real time, and you can watch it move, and you can watch all of their charts up to their like top 100. And so they did a really good job at promoting a lot of those bands, and those bands did a really good job promoting the website, and the streams were insane. I've seen so many bands break off of He Is We, Tonight Alive. I found both off of there just
because
bands
got record deals from Pure Volume. 100%.
$1 million record deals.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's up in the wind now. Like, I've never heard of it.
You were just too busy live journaling about Five Sauce and 1D.
Yeah, totally.
With your Mexican family.
Oh, no.
This is taking a strange turn. I was, 12 years old?
I mean, you're not that much younger than this guy. But, I mean, you know, there's a huge difference between an 8th grader and an 11th grader.
Yeah.
Anyway, 14 years old, radio stations playing local bands. But have you always been involved, I guess, since then with more the business side? Or when did you – because we were not going to really go into your touring days, but
– The reason I went into music first because that's where I started first. I started street teaming, and I started, you know – busting my butt to help anybody I could and just become an asset in any situation that I could for these local musicians. And I didn't even really play bass or guitar really all that much. And I ended up playing bass for a band that I was just helping a ton. And we had an in-store performance at a Best Buy in New York City, and he didn't have anybody to play for him. So I just learned the songs. And then all of a sudden there was like a battle of the bands, like, hey, do you want to play this too? All of a sudden we won the battle of the bands. We were playing Bamboozle. It's like, just stick around for it. And I just kept playing. And then I got poached by a bigger band. And
wait, what was the older band? The Best Buy band?
The Best Buy band was called Dear Luna. It was with my friend Frankie Machetto. And it was pretty much just like a Never Shout Never Death Cab for Cutie rip.
Okay.
It was
Well, every band's a rip of something.
Yeah, there was a lot of influence there. And I think it did really well. And people were really into it as a local band. And
were they signed?
Nope, we never got any offers. We just kind of hustled as a local band.
Yeah. I mean, that's the story of most of them. And then what bigger band were you poached by?
So I jumped into a band with a guy named Tom DeGrazia, who founded The In Crowd. He founded a band called The Best Week Ever that were signing to Columbia at the time. And then he brought me into a band that was kind of the legacy project for the Best Week Ever called Fast Times, and he'd already started a band called That's Outrageous, which had signed to Rise Records. Fast Times turned back into That's Outrageous, and I continued with That's Outrageous and just continued playing from there.
What did you play in the band?
I played bass.
And how many pieces?
Sometimes there'd be six people. Sometimes we'd do shows with four.
And have you grinded out and toured?
Yeah, we played a bunch of small tours when I was in the band. Before that, the very first tour was the Memphis Mayfire Rise Records tour. Their first tour.
After they left Trustkill?
Yeah, it was their very first tour with Rise. And then the following one was the Monster Outbreak tour with Of Mice and Men for like 3,500 cap rooms. I Wrestle the Bear once, I See Stars. We were direct to Dave Shapiro and to Rise.
This is the Dave Shapiro hour.
And Dave Conway had a really, really, really cool team for that project. And it just really took off. There were some member issues and it fell apart. And we started another band where we did jingles and the band signed us Songs Publishing and Hollywood Records for a couple singles and Disney. And we did a theme song for like ESPN. The whole band just became like a jingle band. It was called 1985 before the 1975. Okay. About 6 months before that album dropped, actually.
After Bowling for Soup?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I love that song. You know that, just fun fact about that song, that was an SR-71 song. The really? Song 1985. Yeah, the band that does, "She Clings to Me Like Cellophane." They wrote that song and it was a little bit different. So if you go on their Spotify, you can stream that song. And then Bowling for Soup made it huge and it's crazy. That's their biggest song.
Yeah.
And they are so good live. They're so funny.
Bowling for Soup?
Yeah, I love Bowling for Soup. They'll probably play Warped too. I'm just guessing. Like, I mean, honestly,
Did Warped, Bowling for Soup.
I know. They did a bunch of dates. Not the whole thing, though.
Yeah.
And I just have a feeling a whole bunch of bands are going to come out of woodwork for it. I'm excited for this summer. I'm going to be in a sea of tears. Anyway, Emily, I've seen you at a few Warps. You worked the Epitaph booth this summer.
I did. It was great.
It was so cool.
People like to give their life stories when I'm just trying to give them a poster.
I have a Milo tattoo.
I saw so many Milo tattoos, and we can't give you discounts if you have a Milo tattoo. That was your decision. But we appreciate it, and we appreciate the free
plug.
Yeah, thank you.
You know the band Rocket from the Crypt gives lifetime free admission to their shows if you have a Rocket from the Crypt tattoo.
Really?
I think Stone Temple Pilots was like that too.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I should Sharpie like STP on my neck and see what happens with getting it. Okay, so after you did the whole jingle thing, what was the next step and when did you come out here?
So
here is LA.
In the midst of the jingle thing, I had started working for our management company, just doing a lot of digital marketing.
Who's ours?
At the time, we were under the working group. We had gone from David Conway with That's Outrageous to a guy named David Lovett who had just joined it. Who had just joined the management company, and so I was doing a lot of work for him. And
working groups Never Shout Never.
Yeah, they had everyone.
No, but the big one, it's not even Never Shout Never anymore, but...
They had the Ready Set at the time.
No, but what Billie Eilish is working group.
Oh.
And she's going to blow up, so... Interesting. You heard it here first. So you had your own, I guess, like little satellite division underneath it? Or was it... Through working group?
It's through working group. They just kept throwing me little things, like little projects, social media projects. And I'd already been working for a guy named Richard Raines. Who had previously done Drive Through Records. And we were working on bands like All Star Weekend and Nothing But Thieves, you know.
I heard a rumor you like them.
All-time favorite band. They're massive right now and something to really behold. So it's been cool that I started working on all those projects so young. I mean, I was 19 years old by the time I was done touring and playing in bands.
That's fucking rad. My business partner with Rolling Artists, the producer company, he started at Working Group too.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Amazing company.
Yeah, it's got its thing. It's you heard of Doghouse Records, Emily?
Mm-hmm.
All American Rejects, all that stuff.
Anything.
Yep. Holy shit. Their debut record. Oh, not their debut.
It's a Real Boy.
Is a Real Boy. So damn good. Yeah. But now he's refusing to play... Wow, I can get sexual too because of all the sexual allegations.
I mean, it makes sense to retire it for right now.
For now.
Yeah.
It's a temporary reprieve. So what were you doing with Richard and Stephanie besides fanboying over Nothing But Thieves?
Fanboying over the tons of drive-through things that were in the garage all the time that I would just go through and watch all the DVDs and grab, like, little pins. And
they started a movement.
I loved drive-through merch, and I would really, really rep that all the time. But, I mean, I loved working for Nothing But Thieves. I did a lot of work for them. I worked for a band called Hollywood Ending. All-Star Weekend was great. That turned into the Tragic Thrills. And I just kind of kept with any projects that he had. There were a lot of, like, one-off smaller bands that he developed for a small time or developed for a long time that are just coming up now.
Well, they worked with The Wreck, so I think it's just a fantastic pop rock band right now. I saw them with Nothing But Thieves.
I have no comments on The Wreck.
Okay, well, we can keep moving forward. We're going to just make this a positive show. That's outrageous of you.
Very, yeah. I mean,
Your comment is a no comment.
Yeah, I love Richard and Stephanie, and I really love their catalog, and I love everything they do, mostly just because they are just incredibly dedicated people that love the music that they rep.
They've been doing it for like 20 years. They've been doing it for quite a while.
Well, even before that, they were directing music videos. They did the Bloodhound Gang video that's like massive 100 million views just on YouTube. Imagine how big it was in the 90s.
They did Bad Touch?
Yeah, the one with the monkeys on it.
Oh, wow.
Richard directed that.
That's pretty
before
cool.
Before any drive-through stuff. They were interviewing, like, Jimmy Eat World on, like, their own little TV show.
The
like,
Hippos. They were a big part of, like, the late 90s, and then when Phoenix TX came out and Newfound Glory, all bets were off.
Yeah.
I remember I went to a Warped, I believe it was 2002, drive-through had its own stage. And it was insane. I think Newfound Glory was already too big for that stage at that point, but I saw, like, Finch, RX Bandits on that stage, Steel Train, one of the more underrated drive-through bands.
Jack's the Mannequin.
Was
that 2003?
Well, Jack's Mannequin was something corporate was on that was on drive-through, but they were actually too big too. They were main stage as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But I just saw Andrew McMahon this summer, and he played a Jack's song, and he played a SoCo song, and I like those songs a lot more than his solo stuff. Anyway, Emily, so this segment is wrapping up, and then we've got another one. What adjective would you use to describe your time here thus far / Kyle? And then we're going to actually go into, I guess, the nitty-gritty next segment on working in social media, because every day it's kind of like Bitcoin. I hear about it more and more and more. What adjective would you give?
Oh, my one good quality. Eclectic.
Your one good quality is amazing. Eclectic?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would use, bold. I think it's really badass at a young age to stake your claim. I mean, when I was 14, I was taking buses to the mall and I was playing in bands, but I didn't do any business stuff.
Yeah, I blocked out 14 and 15. I cannot tell you.
Were you up all night?
No.
What about you, Mr. Kyle?
For the word?
Yeah, you can do that for the Waldman word.
I don't know.
So unsure.
Unsure.
Yeah.
I don't know what to really like. I mean, I guess I'm kind of referencing myself.
You could, or you can reference what's been going on for the past 18 minutes and 18 seconds. We're kind of just
unsure,
like,
yeah.
Well, I think that honestly what we're doing is we're just having a convo, an unscripted convo, and I'm learning a little bit, and I hope that all the Adobe heads in the middle of Nebraska are learning a little something, too.
Okay, so education.
Yes, I'll take it. See, that's a much better word than unsure. Yeah. You know, what word – so, like, if you were on a first date with someone and what word would they use to describe how they felt? And they said unsure. I don't know if you'd want to go on a second date with them as opposed to someone being, like, informative, incredible.
I don't know. Informative is something you say to someone, you're like, oh, that's – nice, you know?
Nice or fine or interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting is one of my least favorite
this
words in the English language.
Interesting. I've learned so much about you.
But this has been interesting is so much better than someone saying interesting. Like, what'd you think of this movie? Interesting. No, you thought it was awful. But what'd you think of this movie? Oh, it was an interesting movie. Okay, you probably a little bit fascinating.
Interesting.
Interesting. So stick around for this extremely interesting recording of Waldman's Words featuring Mr. Kyle Hewlett, who, as I shook his hand this morning, told me that he shouldn't have gone bowling.
Oh, yeah. I have tendonitis in both my wrists and went bowling, and now I can't use my right hand.
Well, it's a good thing you retired from the touring game.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, actually.
You're the face of carpal tunnel. All right, anyway, stick around for this episode of Waldman's Words. Enjoy these ads. and maybe you'll hear a little jingle or two, and I love Tom. Hello, we are back with Waldman's Words just before Emily Burke leaves me for sunny Philadelphia again.
Yeah, it's Philadelphia's fine. If anyone's in Philadelphia right now, you're
fine. Philadelphia's interesting.
Philadelphia is great. You're all doing wonderful.
I love snow. I like Philly. It's kind of like New York's kid brother that's trying to prove some shit.
Yeah, it's set up like New York but has an LA vibe.
I've never heard that before, even though I think that New York pizza isn't as good as Chicago pizza. No, I would say that New York pizza is more consistent. Anyway, so talk to me right now about what it's like working in social media, because I know you do at least 73,000 things in that.
That's a good way to start it.
Thank you.
It is a lot. Social media, I mean, it is a 24/7 operation from any perspective, and mostly just because you need to know what's going on, and you need to know your channels and know how to listen to your audience.
Or if there is an audience, how to build one.
Yeah, that's very true. There's two different sides to it, and I think that a lot of people put a lot into the first part and developing it and building it, and may not always get to the second half of it, and maintaining such a large audience and knowing how to nurture that audience and re-engage them. And I think that's an important building block for the first part.
Well, how'd you get your start and in what facet? Because social media, I mean, literally like tool shops have a social media department now. So
yeah, I mean, it's an absolute necessity to anybody that wants to survive in the digital era and that wants to continue nurturing an audience and, you know, marketing a product or building a brand or maintaining an aware and engaged audience for anything that you do. If it's just about your personal life, if it's a business that you work with, you should be building a story online. I think that people who are starting out early just need to know the foundations of building, you know, prospecting an initial listener and then continuing to nurture that potential fan all the way into fandom. You know,
and fan works for anything, for a restaurant, for a movie, for
a follower,
band.
A fan, a friend. You know, in the beginning, it's going to be
an engaged person.
Yeah, an engaged.
I mean, I'm married, person. But like engaged. You get it. Dad jokes are punk is dad.
Punk is dad. Punk is dad. You're getting it.
I know. Well, maybe eventually I'll have my own child and you can help watch Gucci and the baby.
Gucci's
the dog.
Oh,
yeah. You have yet to see, is Gucci the best dog?
She's my favorite Waldman.
That's a great name.
Fuck you. You know what? I met your parents, and you're definitely my third favorite Burke. I met the Mexican family. It's been dope. So, I guess, what specifically do you do? Because, I mean, you're talking, you're being informative, but it's a little bit more vague. So, right. Like, run me through how you got your start and how you're able to do this, I guess. I mean, it is full-time. You do it for so many different people.
I definitely do it full-time and beyond that, for sure. I currently handle Adobe as a network.
What's that?
Adobe Radio as a network, in a radio network where we've got 23 different shows airing every single week. You know, I'm working on creating a rollout and a launch plan for every single one of those shows. And
you're working with Emily now on the WW show.
Exactly. And when I came in, there wasn't a lot of that internal process. So it's like I can come to a client and kind of just look at where they need help, you know, driving themselves online. And with a radio network, that's just going to be driving from the outside in with, you know, a ton of these influencer stations. And I think influencer marketing is really the way to go there. I guess backing up, when I learned about all these things and like trying to figure out how to like obviously walk into a company and be like, this is what you need, A, B, and C, foundation building, I was working for a street team for Fearless Records, just promoting shows on MySpace.
She basically does that too.
I mean, that's really what the job is. It's street teamers, and the better you are at, you know, promoting online and
it's
promoting
a digital
record,
street team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You just have to be really, really good. And I mean, that's what street teams and fans are. It's people that are aware and engaged and willing to help you out and continue to promote and drive your music. So that's how I started out exactly. You know, I got a bunch of posters from Heather over at Fearless for Sparks the Rescue and hung them all over the loft in the Chance. Like, and just got really good at driving events locally. I got into promoting shows locally and just like promoting event pages. Like street teaming is really the way to go if you want to get some foundation.
But you were doing that super young. Were you doing that in high school?
That's when I was like 14, 15.
So you were probably getting a bunch of swag from the label and all that
stuff. Oh yeah, Feel by Ramen would send me tons of CDs. I would get thousands and thousands of stickers that I would just walk around my high school like handing out. And like once like a few people get it and somebody found out there's like more free stuff to get, like everyone in the school wanted one. And like that was such an easy job and so much fun, you know, just to get a few, you know, photos of people sticking them on a locker or something. Like the street team leaders love that kind of stuff.
And so wait, you're 23. If that was, so that was like around 9 years ago. So that was during like Paramore was doing well.
Yeah, we had Cobra, Panic. I had a bunch of Cobra Starship stickers.
Cute like, is what we aim for. Love, like all that stuff.
For.
They're from Buffalo.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hear about Shant like on Twitter.
Yes, I hear about that too. another more positive spin. So I guess as an adult though, like you do stuff for Idobe. There's another recent gig that you just got as well.
Yeah, so I do Idobe as a
I did my research.
Yeah, as a part-time. And then I just took on part-time working for a company called Forfini, which is Kevin Lyman's direct production company. Where he handles all of his festivals and various other companies. So one of the accounts that I've started on is the Vans Warped Tour account. So I've been doing all the tweeting for Vans and a bunch of the social engagement. We have a lot of community management because it's such a larger entity. We get tons of questions about merch and about the tour and about festivals and playing and getting onto the festival and the routing. So that really comes down to a lot of customer service and responding.
Even though
questions.
It's listed right on their website.
And it really is. And, you know, I think our voice is a little sassier. So we're
like Wendy's. I love Wendy's.
Yeah, we're short with those fans. Like, I mean, they get it. They're a little older. It's not like we're hurting anybody's feelings, but we're just like, it comes in March. Like the announcement comes in March. Stop bothering us. Like it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fans think that's funny and they really jump on it. But that's, again, that's just knowing your voice.
I love it when people tweet me and ask me, where can I stream Idobe?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally on your profile page, on the link that they're probably tweeting at.
Idobe.com.
On the graphic.
Download the app. Yeah. It's pretty
website,
wild.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So what, I guess I would love to hear your take on working with Fearless Street Taming stuff or what you've been doing.
I kind of accidentally fell into it.
Damn right you did. It wasn't as much of an accident yeah. as you think.
Where I don't think I'm an official part of the actual street team, but they do a lot of stuff with colleges. And Philadelphia is an amazing area because there are about 4 major universities within the city. And then you're also...
One of them's Temple, right?
One of them is Temple. And then you also have quick access to New York. So anytime they need something done really fast in New York City, I'm their gal. And we did a lot of stuff for Phantom Anthem, August Burns Red, that are now nominated for a Grammy. So that's
pretty
awesome.
Surreal.
Yeah. They're Grayscale, who's a Pennsylvania band. So obviously we do stuff in Philadelphia a lot.
I imagine.
Yeah.
So I guess for Feeny, that's a really recent thing, I believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I'm still on a trial, but I seem pretty comfortable.
Do you feel like you're on a trial with Idobe, too?
Definitely not at this point for what I've taken on. But I love, you know, these positions and these jobs. And the reason I take on more than one is because I come from an agency background where, you know, I'm equipped to take on, you know, 4 to 7 different clients at a time. You know, I view Idobe Network as a singular client, unfortunately, even though it's...
Lots of umbrellas.
Yeah, exactly, with tons of umbrellas. And then I look at Forfini as another client, and then I've got a band that I manage as well, and then...
Locals Only, bro.
Yes, awesome.
They just got off tour with the band Makeout.
Hey, I saw them in Philly.
Oh, you saw them. That's
awesome. I was
there. What did you think?
They were amazing. They were good.
Remember, you can't say anything negative on TV.
Yeah. I actually have nothing to say. All the bands that played that show, at least the Philadelphia show, were amazing.
What venue was that?
It was Voltage Lounge,
yes.
Which is attached to Electric Factory. Which you've heard of. Yeah.
Yeah. My old band played the Troc, so.
Oh, I know.
And the Fire.
Really?
The Fire was a shithole. The Troc was crazy.
I've been to the Fire. Which is a bar, but they don't care. They'll just let you in.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine there if you show them a piece of paper that says, yes, I can drink.
It's like On the Rocks here in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, upstairs Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
I play there with Lido Beach and The Cab.
Brighton, the morning light all opened. It was pretty wild. Yep. Wow. Anyway, so what else do you do? Like, what's a typical day for you besides going bowling and coming to an interview late?
I mean, so I've got kind of a wacky schedule right now. I start, like, our first show here at Adobe is at 7 a.m. And I,
Brett.
Yeah, with Brett Davern, an awesome MTV star, and Katie LeClaire from Freeform's Switched at Birth. They have tons of, like, celebrity guests, so it's been a really cool experience getting to partner with a lot of those guests because they do jump on social, and a lot of them will help out the show. And we're starting from the ground up, so it's cool to see so much push from the outside in to something so
small. The room
so
looks
small.
Different.
Look oh, yeah. Yeah. They decorated it.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did.
We're doing a St. Jude's contest right now.
That's leukemia-based, right?
Children's Research Hospital. That's,
okay, yeah. Yeah.
So, it's, I mean, it's pretty much anything with dying children. and, well, we decided that was probably the best place to go for Christmas. You know, it's like children. We'll go work with children, and why not send that money to them? So
yeah, adults spend money on Christmas, and children should get good things like cures.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
support that. And this took a turn, didn't it?
Great. It's a great organization.
It's amazing.
And Adobe's actually matching everything we raise.
That's amazing.
So good at stuff. Least up to $1,000 or something like that.
They're if it's a 2 million donations, I don't know.
I think we're almost up to $1,500 so
That's
far
great.
Just raised wow. alone. So not too bad.
Proud to be a part of Adobe.
You are a huge part of Adobe. You helped me so much. I just want you to know that. My adjective for you is fucking awesome. And what's crazy is Brett and I go way back because we have a mutual friend and I've known him for quite some time. And it was just so random seeing him at this office. And he's offering something different for Adobe. Kind of like Waldman's words.
Yeah.
Nice plug.
I plug myself on myself.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own social media marketing.
Is that a way to go? Is that a tactic?
I mean, brand awareness is as good as it gets.
Right, yeah.
You just got to put it in front of people.
Yo, gangsta.
I'm learning from the expert.
The expert. So tell me a little bit more.
So something cool about social media is that it's kind of easy to get into. I know you can do like the street teaming, and I honestly wish I had gone to school for certain things like being able to intern places, intern at Spotify or to intern at Tumblr or to intern
at
Epitaph. And I didn't really get that opportunity not going to college. But the reason I didn't go to college is because Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram offer platform certifications on all of their websites for free. They certify you up to $100,000 in ad spend on their site because they want you good at spending money on their platform in other people's names. Like, I spent maybe 2 months developing those certifications and just busting them out every single day, 3 or 4 of them through Twitter Flight School to Facebook Blueprint to Google AdWords. Like, those accounts, like, once you have those certifications, are so easy to I wouldn't say easy to get. They're difficult tests to pass, for sure. It took me 2 months, and they were free. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't
free.
Go to college at all.
Like, I don't.
Like, yeah. And here's the other thing. Once you hire into an agency like WPromote, like these bigger ad agencies that handle like Forever 21 and big clothing brands, like they spend that first 2 months retraining you on
doing
all these
what
certifications.
You've done.
Exactly. And so I'm already qualified to hire into any of those larger like brand agencies. The thing is, I would rather stay in music, and I've already got a clientele base listed in music, and I can go back to that, and I'm not really worried about
private bands and such.
Yeah, major independence. I mean, I was at I forgot to leave that. I was working at an agency called
Total. So good, man. We only have so much time.
Yeah, I was working at an agency called Total Assault, where we were working on
my buddy Ben Farber worked there, and he was on this show.
Tons of major independence. I mean, one of my first clients there was like Red Foo, LMFAO, and like. I think one of our directs was Dolly Parton, and they share an office out of CTK in Nashville with them. We'd worked on a record for Kiefer Sutherland. I released a project for Prophets of Rage, which was
Rage in Cypress Hill.
Yeah, exactly. That was a really cool experience, really cool project to work on. And so once I kind of started working with the major independents on that level, it's like. Like, those are where it gets as far as working in music. You know, unless I were to go to work at Spotify, I would have to be a director at, like, a record label. And I would rather a label – or I would rather a major independent or an artist who has the cash come to me and pay me a flat rate to release that record instead of going to a loan shark and paying an 85% return loan. like it's such a better game, and I think it's so much, it's such a stronger option for so many artists to kind of come to us and let us, you know, create their release and rollout campaign.
And it's usually a 3-month plan, right?
I do 18 months. I do an album rollout. And so that's kind of what I did with Total Assault. That's what I really consider my job, is that you get a major independent artist who wants to release a record but kind of has the money to do it regardless, or the album's going to break regardless, and they don't want to go to a label and spend all that money or have to pay them back all these advances and fees, and they'll just pay me out directly. And so because I've worked for so many different labels and I've worked with so many different publicity companies and media teams, it's like they come and I just completely create a rollout plan, an execution, a digital marketing plan, where I spot week by week exactly what's going to happen and why. And where we need to be with it as well.
Total Assault works with every label and everyone. Every genre.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
All that.
And that's why it was cool. It's like I was working on a country record, and then I was working on a metal band signed to Metal Blade Records that just happened to have an awesome budget. And like
very similar to Dolly Parton.
Yeah, well, that's what was crazy about it. I was literally doing a death metal band called Oni while taking a call with Priscilla Presley every morning for her son's like rock band. You know, it was such a cool environment to work on, because I genuinely love working in music. It's not about working for scene bands or working for Warped Tour. You know, I want to break artists on a major scale. And so it was a really cool opportunity to get to work there, because now I can go to places like Warped Tour, where I feel like I've already worked on a bigger scale and feel confident taking on.
Are you going to be on the Warped Tour, you think? Because I know, doesn't Steph go to some dates?
I haven't even asked. She did the tour last year. She went home. I mean, I would love to. That's kind of the dream, is to do the marketing for the last year of Warped Tour and go on Bus One with Kevin Lyman. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? But there's a lot of limitations, and it's difficult to get everybody out this year.
Everyone and their mother wants to play this year's the last one.
Exactly. So I mean, it'll come down to, I think, the necessity that I make myself and the asset that I make myself to that team, and we'll just have to see how that goes out. I'm only like 3 weeks in, so.
Oh, I thought you were there for 4 weeks.
Getting there. I honestly don't even know. I'm pretty sure I'm at 4 weeks, like the first week of January. I've been back and forth with them for a little bit. I just kind of hung out with Steph on the Warped Cruise, and we nerded out over a program called Tone Den, which is like a Spotify like fan gating contesting platform that helps you get like Spotify followers for like free downloads and little contest things.
Did you watch Juliana Theory? My fingers are crossed.
No, I did not. At the
Warped Cruise.
No, I actually. So here's the thing with Warped Cruise. I tried my best not to look at the lineup the whole time, because I wanted to kind of just wander into it. It was a cooler experience. I wandered into Aaron Gillespie playing Southern Weather one night, and I was like just hammered. It was so much fun. It was honestly such an incredible experience, that whole cruise. I mean, Kevin Lyman was like, got this huge chant during emo night, and like everybody in the whole room had him come to the front, and then he like fake DJ'd to Here in Your Arms by Hello Goodbye, and like everybody's crying and drinking PBR and like crowd surfing things, and it was like the most memorable experience of my whole life.
The pictures from Warped Cruise, I don't know if you've like seen some of like,
they look pretty controversial.
Oh my god. Oh,
it looked like Jersey Shore epic. For the scene.
Yeah.
Well, it was all touring professionals. It was like a paid vacation for the majority of the people there. Like Adobe honestly really fetched for us, like went out of the way. Tom got us rooms, like our own suites with like decks and like not a porthole.
Wait, you had your own room?
Yeah, I had my own suite with a king size, like a queen size bed and a deck, and then he paid for an unlimited liquor bill, and like we were all just set up. Me, Fish, and Gary.
I thought that rocked the walls too.
Patrick Walford. Yeah. His first name is Gary, so I've been calling him Gary.
Oh, his
I didn't
name's
know that.
Gary? Oh, I thought it was Patrick. That's funny.
It is Pat. It's Gary Patrick.
Oh, that's funny. So, well, he was on my show as well.
He's a really sweet, awesome kid. His fiance is amazing too.
He likes the heavy stuff. All right, so we're going to cut this off. So I guess give your socials, give ways for people to check out your witticisms.
I mean, my socials are Kyle Hewlett. I don't know if anybody's going to find that.
Spell it just in case.
It's Kyle Hewlett. The Twitter is HVLETT because somebody stole it.
You're mad scene, son.
Yeah, but go ahead and follow like Vans Warped Tour. I sass Halsey fans all day long. if you want to follow a band called Locals Only, I work with them. They're an awesome pop punk band.
They are. They're great.
And then, of course, follow the Adobe socials. Like that's me, you know. I'm there if you guys want to see some examples on some copywriting or branded partnerships.
Or Scott playing an Elvis song upstairs.
Or advertisements. You know, if you guys see – well, yeah, because you're on my story. If you guys see, like, advertisements, you know what I mean? It's like I'm running all those ads that are Adobe Sessions or Warped Tour ones, et cetera. So.
Nice. Emily, you good? I'm sad that you're leaving again. You always leave. But yeah. You're going to come back to L.A., so.
Yeah, I have to.
Well, this your folks place, live here.
You know? Also, yeah, my family is here.
Yeah, it's just because it's the place and that
also
secondary silver medal prize. So anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Kyle, I'm not going to high-five you because of the carpal, so fist pound. Emily, you're amazing, and have a good night.
Bye.